us pray. Lord, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. It's good to be with you this morning. So I wonder, what do people see when they look at you? Who do they see when they look at you? And in that question, we immediately are aware of the many perceptions that happen in each visual, even just visual, encounter that we might have with another person. We immediately size people up and frame them and get them into our brain, however it is our brain is configured. What do people see when they look at you? What do they see when they look at me? Who do they see? For some years before the Church of England ordained women as bishops, some of us from Canada and from the United States would go, and we would let people look at us. And our partnership with the Diocese of Gloucester and Western Tanganyika, actually one of my primary roles was to just go there to the Diocese of Gloucester and let people look at me. I was Exhibit A. I was what one of those creatures looked like, you see. And I called it the ministry of voyeurism, because it was just this staring thing that went on pretty much from the minute I walked out of the door from a private place into a public place. People would stare, and sometimes they would get very close, and they would say what they were thinking, like, she's wearing makeup. And one day I wore blue jeans, and this, like, rippled through the town. She's wearing blue jeans, people. There's an alert out. The woman bishop has on jeans. Can you imagine this, you see? And there were days where I'm thinking, you know, Simon says, take a big step backwards out of my face, you know. And it would always take me some days to kind of recover from the intensity of that. And it wasn't just that people were looking at me. It was all their process that was happening about how they were thinking about themselves. The women looking at me saying, could I be that? Might God be calling me to that? Could that creature be my bishop? What is it, a woman wearing a man's clothes, even though the men's clothes in our church are women's clothes? What does it say about God? What is our church going to say if we make women bishops? There's a lot of heavy stuff in that. We're a long way off from it. But when we see another, and they are so startlingly different for us, or they touch off things in us that God is doing, all that's going on. And it's good, sacred, spiritual work. Good, sacred, spiritual work. Martin Luther King Day is tomorrow. And it isn't just a day to celebrate his life. It's a day for us to look at Martin Luther King and let him be a mirror back to us. And to ask us, who am I in light of Martin Luther King? Who was obviously a person who battled, died for civil rights in this country. He was a prophet, a devout man. And so as we ponder him and look at him, let us look at ourselves and think of ourselves and say, who am I and what am I in light of the amazing things that he did? And then might that have some impact on what I choose to put out in my life? Might it give me courage to put out something more just, more prophetic, more out there? Perhaps in the face of the world, to say to the world, to say to our country, who are you? saying about ourselves. John the Baptist is out there on the road, his followers with him, and Jesus comes walking by, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And it's a kind of beautiful moment if you just slow it down. John is very dense, right? The Gospel of John is very thick with theology. But just take the one scene. You know, "Behold, the Lamb of God, there he is." This extraordinary moment and naming it as the holiness and the sacred time that it is. And that's who that is. And the Gospel of John would want to say that about Jesus. All the theology that gets held in those words, the Lamb of God. In John's Gospel, Jesus is God. God so loved the world, he sent his only Son. See, the essence of God is in Jesus. The other Gospels, you're not really sure, when does Jesus even figure that out? You see, in Luke, kind of progressed along for a while, and then one day it sort of dawns on him, maybe that's what's going on here. See? But in John's Gospel, it's right out there, up front. And that Lamb of God image, you know, lambs are cuddly and fragile and sacrificed. You know, Ramadan in the Middle East, 4 million lambs are sacrificed. Now that's a powerful thing to say about God. It is a powerful thing to say that divinity is willing to come and dwell with and be in and identify with and be the who and the what of humanity. And John's statement of, "Behold the Lamb of God, here is the one who is coming to be known by people and let people know God." Let some voyeurism go on, some sacred, holy staring at one another. And that's the experience held in that language. Behold the Lamb of God. And in Christian art, we often see the Lamb as victorious, you know, because the fragility, the vulnerability of that combination of divinity and humanity, it rises above the brokenness. And when we follow the Lamb of God, we discover that process in our life and in our living. And that Lamb carries a red flag, you know, the flag of the martyrs, the others who have been sacrificed. And it is in the commingling of the divine and of the human that we know God, and we know that God knows us. We know that God knows us. Some of the disciples of John immediately pick up and go, because the one they've been waiting for is here. And I love how they're kind of following, and Jesus turns around and is like, "So what do you want?" You know, "What are you doing here?" And that's a great question, right? It's like, I don't know exactly what I'm doing here. "So where do you live?" You know, okay, why don't you come and see? And so even in the following, you know, if we're not quite sure where we're going, but we have some sense in our being, it's like, I don't really know what's going on here, but I'm going to go with this. Jesus is still so gracious and extends an invitation. "Come and see. You may come and stare at me for as long as you need to." And in Jesus, we can see God. And in Jesus, we have a mirror that lets us see ourselves as beloved, as worthy of the Lamb. See, worthy of the fragile, loving, sacrificial, cuddly God coming to be with us and transform and change our lives. And so as we follow Jesus, we often begin to get a little clearer about that question of who am I and what am I? And while we cannot govern people's perceptions, You see, I can't change what people see when they look at me. And trust me, people see a lot of things when they look at me. And they load it up. I have no idea. See what's going on? I have no idea. But I do need to know who I think I am and what I think I am, and to keep moving with that process as I follow Jesus, as I look at Jesus, as Jesus looks back at me, as we have a mirror process going on, and Jesus continues to reflect back to